I was born in the right time with the right skills, and I was always very good at school, and so that was easy for me. But I'm extremely sympathetic to the kids where their skills and talents or even interests lie elsewhere. But it's really important for them to do well in school, and so for me, the book was Matilda by Roald Dahl. But for it could be anything for any student to get them hooked. I'm open to a lot of different things, but I think giving them those skills helps them access any book that they want to and give them the freedom to grow.
Always willing to talk about Milwaukee Public Schools, and we've spent a lot of time on my show over the years talking about MPS and the challenges there. A great op-ed in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel written recently by Quentin Claibon from the Institute for Reform and Government. The title, headline, Milwaukee Public Schools Destined to Fail If City Leaders Don't Get Engaged, Here's How. Now, I love the sub-headline, Quentin. Here are four concrete things we can do to change children's lives by this time next year. Now, I am, first of all, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
I am a fan of action plans, and this seems to be a rather directed, clear-cut, straightforward, let's figure these things out, let's do it in a timely manner. So I'm just going to go through them, but let's go big picture first. We know that the MPS school system is in financial straits. They're late on their reports. We see a horrifically low graduation rate, test scores. All of those things are pointing to failure. When you look at this big picture sort of op-ed version of what we can do to fix it, what are the troubling signs from your perspective?
Yeah, all of those. I would say two things. All of those, first of all, kind of the key discipline, academic, financial issues at play. Also, structural issues. Milwaukee Public Schools, if you go to mpsfacilitiesplan.com, that is their consultant who's planning how they're going to use their buildings going forward. As you've discussed on your radio show, many schools are very under-enrolled. We're talking below two-thirds enrolled, below half enrolled, which means you can have a building of 700 that can hold 700 students, and 200 will show up.
What do we see for a population, 66,000 or something like that?
Yeah, exactly right. And so they predict, because of the pandemic, because of people just having fewer kids or not having children at all, that that's going to decline even more steeply in the future. And so there are some structural problems at play with just fewer kids to go around and fewer need for buildings and staff, unfortunately.
From your perspective, again, looking at this critical issue in education in our community, the largest community in the state when it comes to public education, Milwaukee Public Schools. Is there, in your opinion, a understanding that this must be fixed as soon as possible?
If there was, I would not have written this editorial because I am a very busy person with all this data nerdery to do. So I recognize the irony of saying this to you right now, but there has been a lot of talking over the summer about what we ought to do about the schools in Milwaukee, not just Milwaukee Public Schools, but MPS in particular. That is important to do, but I think too often people have the conversation, they feel better about understanding the situation, and they feel like they have accomplished something. That is merely the first step. Information is merely the first step. The information that we are providing listeners today, merely the first step. We want you to, at the end of this show, to go out and do something for your community.
So let's talk about those steps. You kind of laid out a four-point plan here, and no surprise, and I'm a big fan of this idea, reading the focus in number one.
Yeah, so to put it in perspective, just to touch on a point you said before, I think people think that if you're coming from the suburbs or if you're coming from maybe a small town at Wisconsin Rapids, like where I'm from, you think that Milwaukee is a problem because Milwaukee has a lot of issues that come with being in a large urban environment. That's not the case. Milwaukee underperforms many of its urban peers across the country. That's where the real trouble is.
Why do we think that is?
I would say lack of consistency would be a big one. I think a lot of districts in the editorial, Jackson, Mississippi, the state of Mississippi has made really great progress in reading, as did the city and county of Miami in Florida. They set a plan, they stuck with it for 6 to 8 years, and they saw incredible growth. And I think a lot of times people have a conversation, they pursue something from 2 years and immediately change.
You talked about it in terms of the science of reading. Explain.
Yeah. Yes. So very long story short, if you're old like me, you can't see the gray hairs and hunch behind coming from behind this microphone. But I learned phonics growing up. Some people remember the commercial Hooked on Phonics, but it's much deeper and more scientific than that. We moved away from that in all of our UWs and all of our private colleges over the last 20 years, which means students learned basically memorization of words rather than figuring out how to break words down into letters. And then they can decipher any word. So very long story short, if I have microphone, and I know what my and k and all those sounds mean, I can interpret any word that comes my way. If I only memorize the word microphone, I only know the word microphone. And so, very long story short, there have been a lot of people in Milwaukee who have tried to change this behavior. So the state legislature enacted a recent law that is reaching all schools in Wisconsin starting this year. It started a couple of weeks ago. But there are even some great community members here. For all you Marquette basketball fans, Coach Shaka Smart's
wife. I'm glad you mentioned this because she has been a guest on my program a couple times. Brilliant book.
I almost blew the mic out with that, so I will have to listen to those shows. Really a wonderful person. Had the opportunity to meet her a couple of times, but her book really her book really allows parents to really understand, like in very simple parent language, what they should be doing. So Reading for Our Lives by Dr. Maya Smart is something that every parent or even every grandparent should check out.
And she suggests, because I've had this conversation with her, you get reading going as early as a tiny little infant, just saying the words out loud.
And I think a big problem that the Milwaukee students have is that I've experienced having worked in schools for a long time in Milwaukee is that a lack of confidence. Maybe they're not getting that reinforcement at home. Maybe what's good in their community is not academic achievement or kind of following the rules at school. And so I can tell you, when I was in preschool, my mom was a special education teacher. She helped me read through phonics really, really early. And I went to preschool and I could read off the board and I could read books to my fellow students when I was 2 and 3. The kids thought it was a superpower that I had. And that instilled so much confidence in me. And I would love to have every student in Milwaukee have that confidence.
Quick story. When I was a mayor, I used to do reading programs for the elementary schools. Absolutely loved it. And you'll never get over, from my perspective as a former elected, looking at the faces of the kids as you sort of tried to do the voices in the books or told them an illustrative story about something that they actually had a direct connection to, because elementary school books and the books you read to them are very relatable, which is sort of how you get people on that path to reading properly.
Absolutely. I was born in the right time with the right skills, and I was always very good at school, and so that was easy for me. But I'm extremely sympathetic to the kids where their skills and talents or even interests lie elsewhere. But it's really important for them to do well in school, and so for me, the book was Matilda by Roald Dahl, but for it could be anything for any student to get them hooked. I'm open to a lot of different things, but I think giving them those skills helps them access any book that they want to and give them the freedom to grow.
Number two on your action plan, it's not just about graduating high school. And what do we know for the current graduation rate for MPS students?
Yeah, so in the low 60s, which is low across the country.
But getting to that next level, a great little stat that you had in there, only 12%, right, of those kids who graduate make it through the next level of graduation.
Yeah, and so this is not necessarily for, we don't necessarily pursue this for every student, but if you wanted a student in Milwaukee Public Schools to graduate high school, enroll in, let's say, UW-Milwaukee, which again needs to generate a lot for our local economy in Milwaukee and the Milwaukee area, and then graduate from college, they would have about a 12% chance, about 12% do. That's just simply multiplying all of the rates. So 1 out of 10, 1 out of 8, whatever you want to say, that is not sufficient talent production for what we need in Milwaukee to grow as an economy, to grow in the sense of attracting families. And that's just unacceptable. So talking about ways to improve that, both at the college level and with apprenticeships and trades.
Yeah, and relationship is a word you use in your op-ed, and I think that's an important one. Getting them familiar with people who have gone through that and gone on that path to the next level of education, I think is critical.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, if you're perhaps you went to a well-resourced school, you have had a guidance counselor. I think a lot of people don't realize that guidance counselors are stretched very thin these days. They are there to provide the broad direction, but maybe not necessarily build the relationship like we would hope. And so there's this great organization, All in Milwaukee. All in Milwaukee. They are building relationships with students in high school. These are primarily low-income students from all across the city of Milwaukee. They build relationships in high school. They help them apply. They provide them scholarships to the college of their choice in Wisconsin. Keep that talent at home. Help them, rather than, getting them out to other states. And while they're in college, just provide them that support that they need. If there's some family stuff going on at home, don't worry, we're here for you. Hey, I don't really know how to study for college because I only have 3 assignments a year instead of, 50. How do they do that? They provide all that guidance, and it really, really is effective.
So would mentoring or mentorship be the right terminology there?
It would. And if people are intimidated by anything that we discussed today, honestly, just building a mentorship relationship with your local high school or high school in urban Milwaukee would be really, really helpful. Show up regularly, show up on time, and be there for them, and you'd be surprised how much even just that adds.
Number 3 of your plan, and from your op-ed, is sort of one that's been talked a lot about, and that's unlocking affordable teaching degrees, because it's a significant investment to go to college. And beyond just getting the education degree, you also have to student teach. That's another layer of cost. And when you're doing that, you're not taking in a lot of income, which makes it financially challenging for those people who are going through that process.
Imagine this. Picture this, listener. You are a 22-year-old senior in college, and you have to work 40 hours a week in a local classroom. Your first time, you're nervous. Maybe the kids are not the most ruly because you don't know how to control a classroom yet. Now imagine you are paying other people for the pleasure of having that experience instead of being paid. That is the reality for every teacher in Wisconsin. And it just cuts people out of the profession. It cuts low-income folks out, which in Wisconsin, unfortunately, means it's racially homogenous as well and gender homogenous as well. And then teachers who enter the classrooms, we have a 19% turnover rate within the first 2 years. So one out of five teachers leaves the profession, not just switches schools, leaves the profession within 2 years. And no business would survive with that turnover rate, and that's why we have so many shortages.
One of the things that's missed in this story, I have a younger brother who left a very high-paying public relations job to be in elementary school in Milwaukee Public Schools and absolutely loves it. And you talk to a teacher, and it, regardless of how you got to be a teacher, that feeling, that understanding of, one, doing something you love, and two, passing on that knowledge, that experience, all those things to a student or students in a classroom is something that I don't think most of us appreciate.
Yeah, and essentially, so in the article I talk about teacher apprenticeships, and the only thing you need to know is, hey, you get 2 years of experience while you're in college to get into classrooms as soon as possible. That does two things. One, it makes it more attractive a proposition for people who want to become teachers because they're going to get to work with students when they're a junior in college, not wait for a semester at the end of their college experience. Secondly, we want to, right now the teaching profession accesses a lot of people who have that joy, but it leaves a lot of those people on the table. I think if anybody has been around a school, you've seen the teacher assistant, the paraprofessional, or maybe you've met a parent who would be like, I would love to work with kids, but, you know, getting a degree and all that hassle, all that money, you know, it just is a dream for another life. Now, teacher apprenticeships can make that a reality. This is actual news, a recent conversation. Currently, the program that has come out, there are only 8 people participating in it. The deal that they are providing all students for your entire college experience, the state of Wisconsin will pay 50% of your college cost. The school that hosts you as the apprentice, they will pay a bonus to the teacher that is your mentor.
How do folks find out about that? Do you know?
Yes. Go search DWD. That's going to take you to Wisconsin's labor department. So DWD, teacher apprenticeships, and it will pop up and give you all the information you need to know. Personally, if I could have half my college degree paid for yeah, and get right to work with kids as quickly as possible, I think it should be a lot higher than 8.
Yeah. What do we know about paying for college? It's not cheap. And, you know, we've certainly talked about on the show about the problem with the student loan debt. Number 4, this is probably one of those hot button ones. The closed school buildings, redeveloping them, selling them. What was your idea on that one?
Yes. So I 3 of these were like very, you know, everybody can get on, or everybody, it's very touchy-feely, very, you know, makes your heart warm. 4th is a reality. So a reality is that not just Milwaukee Public Schools, but the private schools and the charter schools in Milwaukee are going to face a big population decline over the next decade, depending on how things go the next 15 years. And that means that small schools may close if they don't change some things. Under-enrolled schools may close. And so if that is a reality, there are 275 about schools in Milwaukee, not just MPS, but 275 schools in Milwaukee this year. My guess is by 2030, we're going to lose 60 of those.
No kidding.
By 2040, probably another 40. We'll probably have 175 in 2040. That's just a reality that's likely going to happen. So rather, and a lot of the under-enrolled and small buildings are in places that really need a hub of the community. And so if we just leave those buildings to sit and rot, there's going to be some bad stuff that happens in those neighborhoods that don't really need that, even more than usual. And so if we can get the city, the developers, the you know, the city's political leaders involved, which they already are, but make sure that they understand the scope of this issue. If we can get those redeveloped into community centers, apartments, something like child care centers, that's a huge need. If we can do that, I think we will avoid having some of that blight.
Big picture, can these issues be solved by legislative action, do you think? You know, we've seen the work on, you know, the reading literacy that people like this, State Senator John Jagler have worked on, and others. Can these problems in MPS be solved by future legislative action, or is this a sort of all hands on deck in the current administration in MPS with local leadership trying to just figure it out?
Yeah, I think a great example would be those teacher apprenticeships. Something has been placed out there, a very good deal. It has not been publicized necessarily, but it exists. And only 8 people, none in Milwaukee, have participated. And so I think it demonstrates the limits of that. It's important to do, but that's one part coming to the table. I think the point of the editorial was everyone who's listening needs to get involved. If you're in the county surrounding, or if you're in greater Milwaukee County, get involved in your local school. Reach out to the people in power to just send an email. I can tell you if from the legislature friends that I've talked to, if 10 people send an email on a topic, and you would know this better, if 10 people send an email on a topic, it wakes a lot of people up. And I think there are more than 10 people in the Milwaukee area who want Milwaukee Public Schools to be great.
Whether you live in Milwaukee, you work in Milwaukee, play in Milwaukee, the core story here is, and I love that you put together some ideas on this, is that we have to have MPS succeed, to have a healthy education system in Wisconsin. So Quentin Claiborne, Institute for Reform in Government, always great work. I love the scholarship you put into this and the thought and sort of leading the way for the rest of us to sort of understand a very difficult, complex problem. Thanks for joining the podcast.
Thank you so much. I hope that I know that everybody's going to step up, and so I'm excited to have been a part of that.